lives in the streaming world of what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
Are we prisoners in somebody else's lousy play?
No. I think we're prisoners in somebody else's fantasy.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror anthology television show created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about Dream Girl, directed by Tim Noranin and written by Tim Noranin and Barbara Paul, and premiered January 19th, 1986.
Guys, life is but a dream, is it not?
Shaboo, shaboo.
Sweetheart.
This episode is a bit of a dream, I guess, or something.
It's a fucking bad dream is what it is.
A surreal nightmare.
David Lynch is somewhere just shaking his head like, yeah, guys, you missed the boat on what I was doing this entire time. This is not what I was trying to do.
Do not sully David Lynch's name with comparing this to him.
I feel like they were trying to pull some Lynch shit with
this. So this would have been right around Blue Velvet?
Yeah.
Feels about right.
Yeah, about same, yeah. Right around there. So
Twin
somebody,
Peaks.
Yeah, but I mean, there is David Lynch here. And it's like, it's easy to just say, oh, it's weird, so it's David Lynch. It's like, but they're going for a very surreal sort of, tone here, where it's like, David Lynch brought that into the mainstream a little
bit.
And I think it's like, you can't deny there's something going on here.
Some kind of
influence. Yeah, because like, you're right, Chris. I'm not just picking him out of the hat. Yeah. There's a very specific reason why I'm saying that.
Exactly,
these camera angles, the atmosphere is heavily, if it's not influenced by him, I would be totally shocked.
Yeah, and it's like, they're getting like real cute with like, just the effects here. It's very stylized.
Yeah.
There's like slow motion here that we don't see a lot through the series.
There's also like, people acting in slow motion, but it's not slow motion, which is interesting.
If you can't tell already, there's some weird stuff going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, too, it's like, this is the, I had to check before the episode, before we started recording, this is the second lowest rating throughout the series.
What's the first?
It's season 4.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, and that makes sense.
But this is a 3.9 IMDb.
Mm.
Where it's like, usually the average around like high fives, low sixes. But yeah, there's we're not hitting eights here.
No, but like
when you go under a 4, that's, you know, something's
rarely is it actually good. It's like, okay, there's a reason why this is rated so lowly.
Yeah.
I literally just said in the previous episode that you can do like a comedy episode, and I personally do not like those ones, but like, knock it out of the park. And this is a very serious, surreal episode. And it just falls flat on its fucking face.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. And it's like, you can do those too. It's like, you can do the experimental episodes, but like, just pull it off well.
Which the show does do. I mean, I gotta give it to that. You know, it's always trying something different, and maybe it doesn't always work, but at least they tried.
Yeah.
Different
things. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's easy to dig into the episode, be like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Is this the worst episode ever?
Well, yeah.
But it's like, here, it's like, I think the fun we're going to have today is like, going into it and like seeing why it didn't work.
Yeah, 100%.
Because like, I will give them credit for trying something different,
right?
And trying something new, because it's like, if they're all like the same formula every episode, it's like, it gets boring.
You need to have a beginning, middle, and an end though.
That's true.
You need to like hit your point and like and like make it so. I mean, there is something to say about leaving it ambiguous to a degree, but we'll talk about it.
Not this much.
But before we get into that, can we get the Fangoria synopsis, please?
So the official Tales from the Dark Side Fangoria guide says, members of a theatrical troupe are disappearing into thin air, much to the dismay of the play's director, Andrea. When she herself disappears and rematerializes in a strange, unfamiliar setting, Andrea realizes that she and her colleagues are ensnared in the dream world of a lowly stagehand.
Yeah.
There's your episode.
I mean, that's it. There's no... Yeah. That's why I'm like saying like the twist when we get to it is like, what the fuck? Okay.
Yeah.
It's like that synopsis explained the episode better than the episode does.
Yeah, 100%.
Right?
Because this is like an episode that just like, it tries to take you on a journey, but it's just like, there's a lot of like words missing or like sequences that just don't really like come together. And by the end of it, I think I understand what they're trying to do by making it kind of spotty. They're trying to throw you off. They're trying to throw the characters off by making it like, wait a second, what the hell's happening here? You know, the way we kick it off, it's kind of like we're in reality. It's this director and she's having this conversation. You're like, okay, yeah, okay, it's going to be a theater themed episode. You're thinking.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I mean, it is.
I mean, yeah, actually, it kind of is, actually.
It 100% is, because, like, unlike the synopsis mentions that, like, she's put into a parallel universe that she doesn't know where she is, it's just the set of the fucking play that they're on.
True, yeah.
It's like, we don't move locations. It's like, we're in just one little, like, studio.
Yeah.
With a couple little settings you have of, like, just little pieces of, like, a patio and just little sets.
It's literally sets for this play. Mm-hmm. So she's ranting and raving because there's people, you know, Andrea's not, nobody's around. Hold on a second. Before we get too deep into that, Andrea Caldwell, played by Carolyn Seymour, this is the voice of Aisha Kandisha, Seductress of Men.
Oh, okay.
From the Trouble with Mary Jane episode.
That was just a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. So that I just thought that was funny.
This is the voice.
This is her.
And it's kind of crazy because, like, going through her IMDb credits, it's like, yeah, she did a couple things of, like, acting. She was in, like, one of the Elder Gods in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, I did read that in Annihilation, a fucking course. Yes.
Yeah, we talked about it on the Trouble with Mary Jane episode.
Oh, did we? Okay, yeah. Okay.
She does a shit ton of voice work.
Yeah.
Like, she's done a ton of video games and cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of, like, Mass Effect, what else? Mm. Gears of War. She's, like, all over the place.
Oh, she was the queen in Gears of War. I did read that. Yeah, yeah.
Also, like, a lot of Star Wars games, too.
Yeah, she was Shmi Skywalker.
Oh, no!
Was Shmi a seductress of men as well?
Shmi.
Yeah, of sand
Shmi?
People.
But, yeah, it's always neat seeing people not just go from just, like, different roles in acting, but, like, also doing, like, VO work. It's cool seeing, like, oh, they were in this.
Oh, sure, 100%. So Andrea is ranting and raving on the set because everybody's gone. The director's gone. The stagehands are gone. The electrician's gone. There's people gone missing. Like, they've been missing for weeks because there's, like, newspapers with, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like a magazine with, like, a missing actress.
Yeah, like, that publication took a while to get put out in the paper, too. And there's a janitor there, played by Lou Cutel, who is the amazing Larry from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You have something you want to share with the rest of us?
Okay.
Amazing Larry?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so that's, like, immediately what I recognized him from.
Otto.
Yeah, he's also the butcher in My Mom's a Werewolf.
Okay.
If anybody's seen that.
I didn't catch that either.
Definitely want to cover that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he plays Otto Schrog. Yes, Shrug, and he's a fucking janitor.
Yeah, right, janitor.
He's a sleepy janitor.
Does he got a bed or a couch there on this fucking plane?
He's definitely not working. It's like all he has to do is literally his only job is sweep the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's shit like all
everywhere.
Over the place.
And she even said that. She's like, what the fuck aren't you cleaning this up, you little shit?
Well, you know, he's very tired, Joe.
He is a sleepy man, isn't he?
Yeah. It's all conked out.
So no punches are pulled with the beginning of this episode because it's just like, oh, there's Otto Shrug. There's Andrea. And now he's going to stare at her intently and put her into his fantasy world.
But, like, actually,
because he falls asleep here.
Yeah. He, like, lays down. He has, like, a little bunk on set,
which is and it's
that's
like,
what I'm saying, it's weird.
Yeah. We're early into the episode. We're already getting off to a weird start. And it's like it's all of a sudden Andrea is dressed up as, like, a German maid.
Yeah.
I thought I missed something. I was watching the screen. I didn't think I looked away. And I'm like, all right, I guess, like, I'm looking at, like, the wiki. I'm like, am I in the right fucking episode? Did I miss something?
The way that it's cut. Yeah, she's just, like, zapped into the dream
world. Yeah, there's no, like...
segue.
There's no, like, oh, somebody falling asleep. And so it's like you're it's implied it's a dream, but it's like, how did we get here?
So he literally off... off camera and then laid down and went to sleep.
Yeah. Just like an narcoleptic janitor.
But again, like the editing and the way it's presented, they kind of do want to throw the audience off a little, but it's like almost too confusing.
Yeah, but then she starts getting commanded by this voice that she can't see, and it's clearly Otto Schrog.
Right.
And it's telling her to, like, do stuff, and it, like, puts her into this scene, and she's like, what am I doing here? What's going on?
She's, like, serving, and then he's at a table on some, like, patio. It's a set.
With the blonde that disappeared?
Right, yeah. The other, like, actors that have gone missing.
Yeah, so you have the janitor and the missing actress eating lunch together. And then Andrea, the director, is, like, serving them lunch. And then he's barking orders at her. I know, it sounds weird, and it is weird.
You silly cow, come and bring me my tea!
He's talking like Andre Toulon.
Yeah. And, like, they're all kind of looking at each other like that it, like... there's a feeling in the air like it's not adding up, but also like they're just kind of going along with it.
They're also kind of mechanical, especially Andrea in this, because he's like willing her to like act in this stupid thing. So like the whole thing here is like he's controlling them to act in his own fantasy play?
Even to the point where he's making her like walk forward and backwards kind of at some points.
Yeah, and then another thing too is like during this like dream, it's like there's always like smoke in the background, like fog. And
it's always got that hazy effect around the lens too.
Which again, like makes me jump right to Lynch, but then there's like even scenes where like it's just like a scene kind of just comes to an end, but like without any like
resolution.
Yeah, and it's like it's weird. It, like the next thing starts happening. Like, whoa, was that intentional? Like, clearly it was, as you continue to watch. But it's like, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but it's very disorienting.
It gets super confusing because they're doing these. So let's set that up first. The reason that they're there is because Eyal Shrog.
André Toulon.
Oh my God. He's like this loser character that like was apparently like shit on his whole life. And we get a backstory like from another character besides Otto. Like we don't see his backstory or really know his motivation, just like an offhanded comment made by another character.
Right.
But what's even weirder is that like it starts to be a dream within a dream, because after this scene, Andrew's the only like strong-willed one enough to be like, oh, what the fuck? Like, why am I doing this and all this
stuff?
Yeah,
she's a little more aware compared to everyone else.
She even says, like, where the hell am I? What is going on?
You will only speak when spoken to, ya? And then she, like, gets, and he, like, snaps, and she gets sent back, but not really back, because she's, like, in, like, a holding pen, but she looks like herself, but she's also still in the dream world.
That's right, yeah, and it's like she's back in her regular clothes.
Yeah, but now she's still in the dream.
Yeah, it's still all hazy and you know, soft looking and everything.
I do like the one thing they do here where like the actress just has short hair, but whenever she's in the dream, she always has that long curly hair. So like, if you're not 100% sure what's going on, at least there's like that constant throughout.
If you can't catch like the costume change,
well,
and,
sure,
yeah.
To be like, fair, it's got right. You know.
So she pops out and then she pops back in again. There's these scenes that they're going through, and like Sid Grossinger is there as well, and he's the director of the play, and he also wrote the play. And she's like, oh, it's Sid Grossinger. What are you doing here? And he's like a maitre d'.
Yeah, now he's a maitre d'.
And he's got like this whole like backstory where like he was like a famous doctor, but then like lost his job and then became a maitre d'. And like that's the part that Otto had wrote
and
for him.
And this is all like backstory explained by Otto, the janitor slash like, you know, fantasy lord, whatever's going on here.
But now he's serving Otto, and Otto has like, he's like this rich guy who wears like sunglasses. He's got like a toupee now.
Oh God, that hair looks bad.
He's got his slick clothes on. He's got like tennis rackets and shit, and he's like supposed to be like this.
It's a high society.
Yeah, this high society dude, and everybody's like below him because apparently like everybody treated him like shit. So this is like his weird fantasy play.
Right. And I love how like Andrea's walking up, and she's like in the kind of like the Swiss like maid kind of outfit, or Swiss like working at the like bar kind of. I don't know the term for it.
Yeah, it's like a German. It's like a St. Pauli's girl, beer lady.
She comes out with the tray of like, what's it, like coffee or something, or hot water,
hot tea.
And she's like shrinking. It kind of made me think of like Alice in Wonderland a little. And I like the way that the camera work does to kind of show like her to be more demeaning by the angle of it and everything. And she takes the cup and she goes to pour it. Totally misses. Pours hot coffee in his fucking
lap. It was on purpose.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you did this on purpose.
Take this, you fat slob.
And she's like, I don't know. She looks very perplexed.
Yeah.
And then, Otto starts like screaming at her, starts screaming at Sid Grossman, who's like, you know, the maitre d'.
Yeah.
How could you accept this, you know, failure of a hostess and
all this bullshit. And then they get zapped out into the dream world again.
Like, just trying to follow this here is like, wait, yeah, then this happens and this happens. It's like, it's just as abrupt as we're describing it.
Yeah, because like Otto's writing these parts for them to play, but when they're not doing the scene, they get zapped into like this one place.
The green room.
The green room.
Where it's like everybody's just kind of there together.
Yeah.
Right. That can like talk to each other and, oh, we're in a dream. No shit.
Well, yeah, but it's weird. Like,
why would you put them together?
I don't, it's like you can't really,
really
make sense of what's going on.
I guess because they need to come to like, they need to get to the end of the plot. Yeah, so they're like, well, they need to talk about this at some point.
Just real quick, Sid Grossinger is played by John Seder, who actually wrote The Manitou.
Oh wow.
So that
which
comes
thought,
up again.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's
he also stars in it, too, as a doctor. So then we get the plot dump of all of this. So this is where we actually learn what's happening to them. Because Andrea's like, what the fuck is going on here, Sid? They're in the green room, dream room, whatever you want to call it. And he's like, what's happening, Sid? And Sid's like, well, you remember that guy Otto, that fucking janitor? And she's like, the slob that pushes the broom? And he's like, yes, that one. Well, apparently, we're a part of his fantasy. now. We're stuck here somehow. And I've been here for, I don't even know how long I've been in this state. So somewhere he has to be asleep. Am I wrong or right?
Yeah. I'm waiting.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
They even go into that later on.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for S.H.I.E.L.D. or the FBI or someone to walk in and just put two between this fucking guy's eyes because he's got some kind of mutant powers going on here.
Yeah, but like towards the middle of this, we're like, okay, so we're in the fantasy.
Right.
But then it's also a dream. And it's like, well, then if that's what's happening, everybody needs to be unconscious somewhere.
Yeah. It's like, well, this obviously is where Christopher Nolan got Inception.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
All your medicine is like the little top.
Yeah.
But they also didn't get the information from Nightmare on Elm Street, where if they just like hurt themselves, they'll wake up, you know, stick their arm on a hot pipe or something.
Yeah, they should do that. Yeah, wake up. So then they get zapped back into a new scene. And it's the blonde, and it's Sid, and it's Andrea. And like now, Shrog has like a mustache. And Sid has, he's like a fucking shoe shiner or some shit. And he's like, yeah, you're a piece of shit, aren't you?
Yeah, and
he's
now
like, aren't you saying, you know, you said all this bad shit about me and now look what you are. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, Air Shrog, you know, you're right, I'm a scumbag.
Yeah, and like now Otto's explanation to Andrea is, oh, he was so unsuccessful and so untalented that he became a beggar.
He became a beggar.
So that's like, he's just like rewriting his own like fantasy world.
Yeah. And I think
just on the fly, like, oh, he was mean to me. So
fuck him.
Well, yeah, screw him. All right. He's a beggar now.
Sid also mentions like, yeah, I guess Otto has the power to do this because he was made fun of when he was a kid or something. And she's like, well, why are we here? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe we're on the set of the play because it reminds him of being in Germany or something.
And it's literally, that's kind of how it's like said. It's like, that's all it. Right. What's happening here? Who knows?
I don't know. Maybe he got that. Maybe he was always a mutant. We don't know.
I mean, what? I don't know. I guess he's a mutant of some kind, right?
Then it's kind of like the final scene where they all get together, where now we're introduced to the electrician guy who's like a gardener or some
the man
some
in
shit.
Overalls or yeah. whatever.
And he like grabs Andrea and he's like manhandling her. And then like Shrog walks up with the blonde and he's like, Unhanta, you animal.
And this might be the weirdest scene of the episode.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're like fighting over. He's like, let go. No, you let go. And then everything slows down.
It's fucking weird.
There's more smoke and everything going on.
It's like they all band together to get out. Because right. like Shrog is controlling them, and then it's all slow mo. So like Sid goes to so Shrog grabs the blonde and goes to pull her out, and then Sid goes and grabs her, and then the electrician grabs her, and then Andrea grabs her, and they're all pulling against Otto, and Otto's like kind of willing them back. He ends up disappearing, and then they go back to the fucking Dream Green Room. And they're talking about it again.
Yeah. And they realize like they're all prisoners and like they're all stuck here in his dream. But it's like, who knows how they came to that conclusion.
Aren't you the electrician? Yeah. So I worked on a ship and Otto wanted to get a job on the ship. And I told him that he was too much of a wuss to go get a job on the ship. And now here I am.
And it was so bad that he was so embarrassed and he couldn't do it. He couldn't hack it. And so he became a janitor
again.
And so that's like the real story.
No, that's just something that happened earlier in the day or like last week or something. Andrea, I believe, she figures it out. She's like, we're all in a dream. We're all sleeping. And inside it, we're in a dream within a dream.
No shit.
And it's like, okay. So she goes and she finds somehow Shrog has left himself wide open for this. She walks over to him and wakes him up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wakes up, she pops back out into the real world. Nobody else is around, but it's her and Shrog.
They're back on the set in the real world.
Yeah.
It's clearly the real world. It's not like the dream, real, whatever.
There's no fog on the lens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
and no smoke.
Exactly.
She's wearing what she had on in the open.
Yes. And he's pushing the broom and they're like looking at each other and she's like, and he just walks away.
Yeah. He's all embarrassed. Like his, you know, tail between his legs, just like.
But she doesn't reprimand him or anything.
Even though all those people are missing in the newspaper and everything, but okay.
Well, they're still not there, and she's just by herself.
Yeah.
And wouldn't waking him up bring them all back into the real world?
You'd think so, yeah.
Gotta kill him. That's what I think. Two between the eyes.
Just murder him?
But they didn't come back when he was awake before.
No.
Right.
So it's like,
what are we doing here?
I don't know.
And then this has got to be the weirdest part of the whole episode, which really doesn't fucking make any sense because she's like, where's everybody? Oh, no, I need to go back to sleep and get them out of the dream world. So she takes a handful of fucking sleeping pills, curls up on like a director's chair. How uncomfortable does that look? And then it like pans over and the electrician is asleep on some sandbags and it like goes into his head. And then yeah. It's like his dream.
Now he's back all of a sudden and it didn't show him in the real world before until now.
But he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Why is he sleeping?
It's like nobody's getting any work done on that set. Everybody's
but he's taking a fucking nap.
Do they have the painting from that other episode? Is that in that place somewhere in the theater? The curse or whatever? Like, what's happening here?
I don't know. The Sandman's there sprinkling.
The Sandman painting. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but like she takes sleeping pills to go back into Otto's dream, who's now awake.
Or the dream world.
We're going to have her own dream. Again, like, is this Inception? Like,
is
what's
it
the
like
plan?
A shared dream universe? Or,
it must be. You know? But like, I thought Otto was commanding it. And if he's not commanding it, how could you possibly be trapped there? That's why when he woke up, they all should have came back. But now we're in the fucking Bonaducci's dream or whatever the fuck his name is. The electrician guy. But Otto's also there. But now he's fucking bald and serving champagne. And he's like, oh, yeah.
And they're all on a boat.
They're on a boat. Yeah. And he's like, captain, whatever. And it's like, the electrician guy now is in control of the dream or the fantasy.
So it's like his dream.
And like Sid is fucking driving the boat and now he's with the blonde, like the electrician's with the blonde and Otto's the butler.
Yeah.
And Andrea is just herself on the boat.
And she just is like this to the camera.
Oh my God.
And then it cuts. Oh my God.
Credits.
Which I guess what's the implication now? She got to deal with this guy's fucking fantasy before she can make any progress.
Like, I think she just jumped into somebody else's fantasy world. But
does she have the power? Does the electrician have the power?
I think they all do.
Like, what was in those sleeping pills?
I don't know.
It's just she actually dies. She's actually foaming at the mouth right now, and this is like what she sees in the afterlife.
It's just like we're led to believe that Otto has some type of supernatural power, but now all that's just shattered because it's like, well, now he's awake, nobody's back, and now we're going into the other guy's thing, and now he's controlling it. So it's like, who the fuck? Yeah. What's
so
going
Otto
on?
Was really just some like loser, nobody
any powers, and you can do it if you just concentrate hard enough,
or you sit in the right spot at the right time of day. Who the fuck?
You have
Maybe
to
just a really comfy chair.
Yeah, you have to fall asleep in this production space is what
right,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It just ends, like I said, and then
it fucks right off.
You know, I don't know if we even have much more to say other than, you know, where are you guys putting this one?
This one's low, but again, I will give them credit for at least attempting something new.
Sure.
So, like, I'm glad they tried something new. It didn't work at all, but if it landed, I feel like it would have been a little... This could have been a good episode if it, you know, was good. It just, but you know what I'm saying? It's it fell apart. It wasn't explained. It was written not well at all.
No.
Three writers.
Three writers on this. I don't know what happened.
Too many cooks is what it sounds like.
But you think someone, one of them would have been like, hey, this isn't really, you don't really tell everyone what's going on.
Or like navigate it, right? It just feels all half-baked. And it feels like all of those, like there's ideas in there, but none of them actually come to fruition. And like, they didn't know what to do at the end. They're like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. It's like, they kind of just like phoned it in maybe, but it's like, if they wanted to go for that weird, like experimental, surrealistic, you know, vibe there, it's like, that could have been done. It just, they didn't have what it takes to pull off this kind of episode.
No, but like, go for it.
Yeah.
Right. Like the dream world's not weird enough. It's just the set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's like wacky situations, but it's not like, it's not surreal enough to pull it off. Like, make it weirder and maybe I'd be into it more.
Do a little more than like slow motion and like just adding some fog in the background.
Yeah.
Giving someone a wig.
And for all those reasons, I would straight up skip this episode. If you really are into like surreal shit or a Lynch fan, again, like it doesn't even hold a candle to it. But like I was joking earlier, it feels like they tried to do Lynch, but they missed the point. I mean, it's still there a little bit. Don't get me wrong, or else I wouldn't even be saying it. But it's just like really confusing. Maybe if I watch it a couple more times, it'll make more sense. But there's so many things in the world I'd rather watch than this episode multiple times. So I just fucking skip it and get to the next one and call it a day.
I think my problem with this is that it's trying to be smarter than it is.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's what I'm trying to say almost. Yeah. Like, you know, because Lynch, you know, say what you will about the guy, but everything has an intent. All the things he does, it doesn't just come out of his ass. It's like, no, there's a reason why he's doing it. And I feel like not to just keep beating that point home is like, yeah, David Lynch, it's weird camera angles. And it's like foggy and it's a dream or something, you know, weird. And it's like, no, it's a little more nuanced than that. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to focus on Lynch. I guess I am a little bit too much here. That's not really my major point. It's just, it's muddy. I don't want to keep using that where we used it the last couple episodes, but it's just, it's muddy in the sense that you're just like a little, you're confused for a little too long. And when it finally starts to be explained, you don't care anymore, I guess is how I came off on it.
I think the thing that it does the worst is explain Otto Schrag and then totally does a 180 on it at the end. And it's like, if we got a little bit more backstory on him and like how this all kind of came to be and didn't do that weird fucking you want to like the twist should have been, which I guess is it was that guy's dream the whole time.
Oh, like if it was more clear that
if that's what's going on here, because that's what we're talking about. I'm like, is that what's supposed to be happening? Like it was the electrician's dream the whole time. But what the fuck is he doing falling asleep on the job?
Right.
And then he was missing
for whatever. Like he's been sleeping for weeks.
It's like head scratchingly confusing.
He went into the beyond, obviously. Yeah. He got sucked into that painting.
And yes, exactly. But it's also like everybody's gone missing rather than just like Schrag is like maybe knocking these people out or like doing something to their food or something. Yep. You know what I mean? And we're expected to believe that like all these people are just asleep somewhere, especially right. Because like for all intents and purposes, if the fucking electrician is asleep in this place, Sid has to be asleep. The blonde has to be asleep and they're all somewhere around here. You know what I mean? It just doesn't jive for me,
it's
man.
Like, look at the, like go back a couple episodes to the Satanic Piano.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, we have like one like villain kind of pulling the strings behind everything. It's like, that's what could have been done here.
Mm-hmm.
And then just play with like that dreamscape world a little bit. It's like, you could do that too.
It could have been done way better.
Yeah.
And I feel like they changed their mind halfway through writing this, or like a 3/4 of the way through writing it. And they're like, oh,
they just passed it off like a baton, like writer to writer.
They didn't talk to each other. They just wrote a piece
of
each and they just cobbled it together.
So that was a third of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so again, I will give them credit for at least trying something different.
Sure.
But
sure.
It fell on its face.
I mean, sometimes, you know, this had to fall on its face for other episodes to run, I guess. Yeah.
So thankfully, there aren't a lot of 3.9 rated episodes.
Yes. Until we get to season 4.
Right. But so a couple little gems from IMDb comments or user reviews. Somebody said, these episodes are completely alienating for the viewer who must sit through 20 odd minutes of nonsense before being confronted with a lukewarm explanation.
They nailed it. That person nailed
it.
100%.
It's like, that's some of these. It's like where some of these are just a slog to get through, but then others are just so much fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is not a good one.
It's also that weird thing, and we haven't talked about it in a few episodes, but like season 1, there's like a couple episodes. Like I know we joke about Jin No Chaser, but like that, like maybe one other one is like, eh.
Yeah.
But like the rest are great. This season is like a little bit uneven. It's just like, we're what now, 14 episodes into this? And it's like, man, like there's some really good ones, but man, there's a lot of really uneven or just flat out bad ones.
I think,
maybe the back half of this is fucking amazing. We'll find out.
I think Effect and Cause in this one are the only ones where I'm like,
okay.
I'm good. Like I never like them, and those are the ones I really don't pay attention to I'm spinning it and I'm working or something.
I think that's it. I mean, the only other comment from IMDb was, this is just funny. Somebody said, the only thing dreamy about this are Carol Seymour's legs.
She's got some good stems, dude. I don't even own a mini skirt. Yeah, that's
shame. There's her episode.
You got some good legs.
Exactly.
She is Aisha Khandisha, Seductress of Men.
And the Matriarchal Locus in Gears of War, like we said. So yeah, she's got it going on.
But Chris, you have some Midnight Madness shows coming up. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I got some more Midnight Madness screenings coming up. So about every 2 weeks, I'm doing horror screenings in Red Bank, showing the weirdest and wildest movies you'll see. So check out what I got going on my Instagram, tape_hell. We'll have a little flashing lights here. So, check out what I got going on, and hope you can see it.
Yeah, man, and you got a show coming up on Saturday, February 17th at 10 p.m. You're kicking it off with Nutty the Creeps and Hagazooza, and then you're following up with The Monster Squad and The Black Coat's Daughter. So you got a little Fred Decker double feature going on for you. But yeah, if you go check out these shows, what Chris does is he pairs up these movies, and then you can pick which movie you want to watch first and which movie you want to watch second. So depending on how you're feeling, you can match it up any way you want. And as always, you can get your tickets now at Basie Center Cinemas at 36 White Street, Red Bank, New Jersey. And again, make sure you follow Chris at tape_hell on Instagram to get all the updates for all the upcoming shows. But yeah, get your tickets now. We'll see you there.
So yeah, that's Dream Girl. Let us know what you thought about this episode in the comments, and like and subscribe if you haven't, if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review if you're digging the show. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm sleepy. I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.